Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
For shame hath devoured the labors of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. That verse 25 sums up the human condition. I don't care how strong a person you are, you cannot navigate this life in this flesh without the Spirit being in control. You will be sinful, you will disobey God, and that is the only sin in this Bible, disobedience, and you will not find your way. God placed you. He says, I placed you in the womb. I knew you before I placed you there. You came from my kingdom. But I placed a veil of innocence on you when you were born, because you're here to take a test. Are you worthy of eternal life? Or are you going to be placed back just as a spirit into the spirit realm? Do you deserve eternal life? Can you prove to me in 50, 60, 70 years, that you can handle the temptations of this life? Can you, Christian? Can you prove to God that you can handle the temptations of this life? And trust me, my mind is examining myself right now. And no, I can't handle the temptations of this life. I throw it at Jesus' feet, because he's the only one that can strengthen my spirit, man, to get me through this life. Will I handle all the temptations of this life? No, I won't. I fail miserably on many occasions, and you do also if you're truthful.
I was going to say, we all do, Dave.
Yes. So don't try to navigate this life alone. You have to have God. You have to focus on God. Follow me with all your heart. Chapter 4. If thou wilt return, O Israel, if you will turn around, O Christian, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. You won't be sent away. That is talking about when you pass from this life, I will gather you to me. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth. I trust in judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Get yourselves together and focus on me. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart. Ha ha, look at that. Oh, that's a reference to Christ there. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Christ says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. Circumcise the heart. Ye men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it. Because of the evil of your doings, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Let us gather ourselves to God and become his children again. The defense cities are his cities that he defends. They don't have the ability to defend themselves. We've seen that. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth. Lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished. and the prophets shall wander. And he's just jumped in to end days, tribulation time. Back up. The lion has come up from his thicket, his hiding place. And the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate. You know that Satan's in the pit at this time. He's been in and out of it several times. He's in it this time, but he's going to be released. And he can actually be in the pit and still have his presence here. You got to understand that. The physically in the pit. Right. In the last time he's placed in there, there's something else said about it. He's bound, put in the pit, and sealed. Mm-hmm. That seal doesn't come on till the very last time he's placed in there. That way his consciousness cannot roam this earth. You know, it's dead. It's so much between the lines in this book. Mm-hmm. But he's going to be it's basically saying he's going to be released. He's going to come here in physical form. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. It shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish. The heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Ah, yes, because this man will come as an angel of light. He will have almighty power. He will do miracles. Let's see, if the kings shall perish in the heart of the princes. The religious ones of the world will be astonished. Mm-hmm. And the prophets will wonder if this is actually God. You know, what does Revelation say? God will intervene at a certain point when the elect are even at a point of believing in this man. Mm-hmm. The elect, those who follow God with all their heart, that's how powerful this being is, the Antichrist.
It's not to pick on them or anything like that.
No.
But the Jews themselves are going to be so confused, because when that lion that comes to devour everything is released, they're going to be like, oh, there's Messiah.
Yeah, there you go.
Because they've been waiting for the conquering kingdom.
That's what they all wanted, yeah. They didn't want the baby in a manger.
Right, right.
Even though their book said that.
Right, right.
Then said I, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people of Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches into the soul. Jeremiah said something strange there. Then said I don't even think he realized he went from their time to end times,
right?
Tribulation period there. He probably had to read it a few more times, like you must do, Christian, over and over again. And then Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people of Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth into the soul. At that time shall it be said no to this people and to Jerusalem. A dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people. Not to fan, not to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Ah, that is all of the dark spiritual power from the high places will blow toward the nation of Israel. And what is God saying there? Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Mm-hmm. It's going to attack me too. Mm-hmm. What does it say? Christ says, I'm coming back with an army, and I'm going to lay the Antichrist and his army's waste. Mm-hmm. Oh man, Jeremiah is amazing.
Absolutely.
Now also will I give sentence against them. The outcome is already known. Christ will be victorious.
Amen.
Behold, he shall come up as the clouds, and his chariots shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled, we are robbed. And it will be a very bad time for the nation of Israel. Be a bad time for the entire world. Be a bad time for America, because America will intervene, try to put a stop to this one world leader who's made peace with the Jews and decided that he's going to break that peace treaty. America will step in as the world's police officer, as we have been doing for years. And we'll actually put a stop to it, momentarily. And then he'll turn all of his wrath against us. And this is in 1 hour. We're destroyed. Unable to wage war ever again. And that verse 13 in a 5th century man's eyes, great armies were chariots and horses, made great dust storms when they rode places. Well, these are going to be modern armies. Behold, he'll she come up with clouds, and his chariots shall be as whirlwind. Yeah, his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. When that happens, woe unto us. Remember, the king.
It's okay, I got you.
O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? And when you see that, what options do you have? Call out the Israeli Defense Force. No. Turn to me, he says. For a voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Every one will be against the Jews. And you see the anti-Semitism just thriving in the world today, even here in America, land of the free. And it's not because these people hate Jews. They have no choice. If you don't follow after God, you're susceptible to the evil in this world. God placed a curse on the Jewish people. You'll be a thorn in the side of everyone that you live next to as I scatter you into the world because of your rejection of Messiah. Why does little Johnny hate the Jews? Little Johnny doesn't even know a Jew. But there's something in his heart that makes him feel like he should hate these people. It was placed there by God as a curse to those who would not accept his son for a purpose to bring about this one united army, one world leader who will come against the nation of Israel, and God will eventually step in and show his power and glory to the entire world. Everything's done for a purpose. Disciples ask, Master, why is this man blind? Who sinned, his mother and father, or did he sin? No. He was made blind from his birth, made to suffer all through his life in darkness, so that I could show you my power here today. The Jews were made to be hated throughout the world, cursed from God, so that one day the entire world will focus on the nation of Israel because massive armies will be surrounding it. And all of a sudden, God will show himself and his power and his glory and rescue the nation of Israel. And how can CNN ever spin that?
Yeah.
Verse 17, as keepers of a field, they are against her round about because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. And she deserves all that she has and all that is going to come against her because she's been rebellious against me. The Jews are not in allegiance with God right now. They know him by his name, his proper name. The rabbinic religion they have does not worship God. It doesn't even follow the Levitical law. They have no temple. They have no way of sacrifice.
It worships actions.
Yes, it's a religious jacket that they put on. Exactly right. And it all began back when the Levitical law was first given. The first generation basically followed it. The second, and then after that, it was religion. Religion, religion, religion. And Phineas perverted it into religion for money, religion for wealth, religion for position, religion for power. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. Ah, this is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. thy ways. Your actions, Christian, have caused these things to come into your life. He's saying here, the actions of your nation, not following after me, God's saying, is the result. The result, these armies coming against you, it's your own fault. When I brought you into the land of Canaan, had you followed after me with all your heart, I would still be there. You remember me going out before your armies and wiping out the opposing forces? Remember the first few battles, Jonathan, when they came into the land? They didn't lose a single soldier.
That's right.
And then, you know, they knocked down Jericho. Mm-hmm. Not a single loss. And then, I forget what his name was. Let's take 300 men and go up and get Ai.
Yeah.
The city of Ai. Yeah. We can do it. Let's just go ahead. Let's do it today.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, we can do it by evening.
You saw what we did yesterday, right?
Yes. Well, you go up there and get wiped out.
Yeah.
Because they placed me in place of God. Mm-hmm. I can do this. That's what he's saying here. You brought all this upon yourselves. My bowels, and that you can replace that bowels with soul. My soul. I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. Have you ever been sick of the heart? There's no worse a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in the moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They're sottish children, stupid children. And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. And all of that in chapter 3 and chapter 4 is leading up to verse 23. And he's basically saying, all of this destruction is your own fault. This last day, massive battle that's getting ready to happen is your fault. And I'm going to tell you what happened before right now. Verse 23. And behold the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. That's very similar to the book of Genesis. The earth was void and without form. And the heavens, and they had no light. But the sun is not shining. That's similar to Genesis, right? He says, let there be light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. And all the hills moved slightly. Have you ever looked at the bottom of a pond of, you know, you look through the clear water, and the ripples on the surface made it tremble? That's what Jeremiah is looking down through water, and he's seeing the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved slightly. The ripples of the top of the water is making that trembling.
Mm-hmm.
But pay attention very closely. I had read this 50, 60 times before I caught it. And behold, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of heaven were fled. Birds of heaven were fled. Okay. I behold, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. And all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. Wait a minute here. Was this Noah's flood? No. God didn't put out the sun in Noah's flood.
Mm-hmm.
There were cities in this fruitful place. That's God's temple here on earth, the garden. It's a wilderness. What happens to a garden when it hadn't been tended for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Overrun, raggy, weeds, all kinds of stuff.
Becomes a wilderness, not a garden anymore. Yeah. It's been this way for a long time. And the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. But thus saith the Lord, for thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. This is the first flood of mankind. And I cannot give you this in a strong enough manner to make you understand this Bible goes hand in hand with science. There's all sorts of clues in here. Behold, and lo, there was no man. They were all dead. Mm-hmm. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. All of creation had been killed. All flesh. Not like Noah's flood. God said, all flesh that I have placed the spirit of life into, I will exterminate except for those I put on the ark. I placed into you. And there's also, I beg you to go to episode 1 on WBFFradio.com, because there were two accounts of creation of man. One on the sixth day and one creating Adam and Eve sometime after the seventh day. There's a lot of things between the lines here. But going back to this first flood, the first age of mankind. Mankind thrived here for we don't know how many thousands of years. Modern civilization. And we have found, archaeologists have found recently, has found a modern spark plug embedded in stone thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. They found that intricate, they don't even know what it was, little machine in the Mediterranean Sea, been in there for thousands of years. It has gears in it, like a Rolex watch does today. Impossible to have been made in the last 8,000 years. And embedded in rock thousands of years old. Mm-hmm. Have little models of aircraft and spacecraft that are thousands of years old. This is why. Behold, the earth was... Go back 23. Mm-hmm. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. Now we're going to go to Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light, for at least the second time, because he's telling you right here in 23 that he already went through this once, and he put the light out. Let's go up here to 27. Thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. I'm wiping the whole place out. As he's telling them here in 3 and 4 leading up to 23, this is the same state the last world was in. But I have a different plan this time. I have sent the Messiah, who you fail to recognize, to fix it. I'm not going to do it this way again. That's why he goes right into what happened to the last earth. He's telling them right here, he's telling the nation of Israel, you're at the same point. Let me tell you what happened last time. What did Solomon say? It's nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. It's all been done before and will be done time and time again. The city forsaken and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what will thou do? When this happens, what will you do? Though thou closest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face and paintings in vain, shalt thou make thyself fair? You know what he just said right there? Pile all the religion you want on yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a filthy rag to me.
Make yourself look royal while you're doing it.
Yes. Go to church all you want. Yep. You better find me with your heart. It's what the entire theme of the Old Testament is. The heart of man. Follow me with all your heart. God hates religion, and he just said it right there again. Isaiah taking a two before two religion. In verse 30, though thou clothest thyself with all your fancy religion, mm-hmm, and your everyday processes in service to me, you think to obey is better than sacrifice. I never wanted the innocent blood of the little lambs, God says. I wanted you to follow me with all your heart, and it would never have been necessary. Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold. Oh, my God. Pile all the religion you want on. It's not going to help you in the day of trouble. Though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall thou thyself make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. All these gods that you place in your life, they'll destroy you. They're not going to help you. For I have heard, and that brings to mind, I mean, if you're in the service of Satan, he laughs at you.
Oh, yeah.
He despises you. That's what it just says right there.
Yeah.
And you're, you know, doing his service.
Right.
And he laughs at you. For I have heard a voice as a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. But I hear you, and I will hear you at that time. And I have made a different way. I'm not going the same way of the first world in 23. Because in 27 he says, for thus saith the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. I know one day my wrath will be over and I won't make a full end. But this time around, I will hear you. Apparently they didn't cry out to him in the last world. There was no salvation for them because they didn't turn back. Well, he created a way now, Jesus Christ. The pure sacrifice. Get rid of all that religion he just beat up with a 2x4. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized, and I'll do the rest, Christ says. Oh, been a stressful ride today in Isaiah. Jeremiah, excuse me. I get the two confused. They're so similar.
Oh, yeah. Even in writing.
Yes.
Like reading their writings.
Yes. Been with Jonathan and David on Between the Lines, WBFF 97.7. And we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.